This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out other great podcasts at pride48.com/shows.
Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George.
Hey, kids, welcome back to another episode of the North and South of Things. This is George in Atlanta, and joining me today is
Mark in St. Paul.
The crowd goes wild. Marks, are you having a relaxing weekend?
I am actually in between some of the things that I have to do. I have blocked out some things that kind of support kind of a slower lifestyle. I was at dinner last night with a couple of friends, and we were talking about the cult of busy, how everyone is just so busy, and we're stressed about it, and you know, we think that we have to get all of this stuff done, and we're really not taking the time to relax.
Extremely fortuitous that you had that conversation last night, because we just came up with this topic today. Today, kids, we're going to talk about relaxation. How do you break the stress? I think I've talked about this on my little show. I had some chest pains that had been reoccurring very sporadically, once every quarter, something like that. And I went and got all of it checked out, all the blood tests and all the stress tests and all that kind of EKG and all that kind of crap. And come back negative, there's no issue. My blood pressure is a little high and I'm on blood pressure medicine, but that's not likely the culprit of the actual chest pain. And so we've arrived at the notion that, yeah, George, it's stress.
Yeah.
And so I've intentionally been working on that, but I feel like I need some advice, some support. So that brings me to my question. Mark, how do you relax?
You know, that's a good question. Some of the techniques that I use, it kind of varies, and it really kind of depends on what is happening in my life, you know, with work and with, you know, domestic chores and stuff. But one of the things that I really love to do to relax is to actually bake bread from scratch.
Okay, does work really stress you out? Do you like really get like, I mean, like you can sense your blood pressure raising and frustrated? Because it does for me. Like I get totally like sort of pissed off and angry, and when people don't sort of plan things, and then all of a sudden their emergency is now your emergency, like all that stuff gets to me. Do you have those issues?
You know, I had them in my last job, and ever since I switched to the new one last March, it is so much better that I rarely have things. Of course, there are things that come up from time to time, but it's nowhere near the frequency and the intensity of my old job.
And I should say, in case anybody, my employer is listening, I love my job and I love my company and I love my coworkers. It's just so happens that sometimes we don't always work smart. We work hard.
Right. And you don't have to work hard if you're working smart.
So talk to me about this bread making business.
Okay, yeah. One of the best things, you know, because I, you know, when I feel like stress building up, I kind of notice that I get cranky, I get irritable, you know, I sometimes can have a quick temper, and it's just like, you know, you can't go down the street and beat the crap out of somebody.
That is frowned upon.
Right. That is frowned upon in polite society. So what I like to do is I kind of like to work out that aggression and that anxiety and that by kneading bread. It's fantastic, because what you have to do is you take these simple ingredients of flour, water, yeast, and, you know, like a little bit of salt. You know, that's basically, you combine these ingredients and you just, you need it, and you just, you know, pound it, you can beat it, you can just, it just feels
really I'm getting good. A visual here, Mark.
It's a kinesthetic release.
Yeah.
Because you're using, you know, really, if you've watched any sort of like professional bakers, you kind of have to use your entire body in order to knead a loaf of bread well. And so you're rocking back and forth. You're using your arms. You're using your shoulders, your back, and your hands. And
you're drop kicking it. You're giving it the atomic elbow.
Yeah. So bread and pasta are probably two of the most relaxing things that I try to do.
So cooking in general is therapeutic for you, though, right?
Yeah, it really is, and it's also a creative process. I know when my batteries are depleted, you know, it's just like, ugh, you know, I have to cook something, and so I really need to, you know, stop, take some time, plan something, you know, and it can be something simple. And just kind of bring attention and awareness to the task at hand. It's kind of a mindfulness or almost a meditative practice, especially like if you're slicing zucchini, you want to make sure that every slice is about the same thickness without using a mandoline.
So that is borderline OCD, but I'm not going to call you out on that.
This is probably a good idea, right? You know, not to ask any of our audience that has any sort of psychological or psychiatric a background to offer any sort of diagnoses.
Right.
So that's one how I relax. Another great thing for me, especially escapism, is reading.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you do read quite a bit. Do you tend to read fiction or nonfiction?
Usually if I'm trying to relax, it's fiction. And so right now I've got two books in the works.
Oh, wait, aren't you reading the new Harry Potter?
Yes, the Harry Potter play, The Cursed Child.
The Cursed Child.
Yes, and that has been great, and actually I'm looking forward to Tuesday, which is the Books and Bars discussion on said book.
I love that. Books and Bars, sign me up. Are you reading paperback or electronic?
This one happens to be hardcover, matter of fact.
Wow.
And then I have a digital collection of short stories by the fantasy and science fiction author Charles DeLint.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So George, tell me, how are you relaxing these days? I've noticed a lot of photos of you with your toes in water by a pool.
Correct. That's one of the ways I'm relaxing. The other ways is I go to Trump rallies and punch people. I'm kidding.
Wow, your attendance must be exemplary.
It is.
There certainly is a lot of things to punch.
Yeah. All the people you see off camera swinging the arms, that's me. No, I'm kidding. Well, I bring this topic up because I've got a major event happening September 21st. It's our organization's 25th anniversary. And my CEO doesn't want a real big thing, but it's still on me to kind of execute it. And I'm really late in getting what I wanted done this year done. And so I noticed Friday that my mood ring was a filthy putrid brown and it was all related to the stress I'm feeling about this. And I'm like, you know what? I just like I've dealt with depression before and you have to understand where the triggers are coming from. I'm feeling stresses the same way. You got to kind of know what triggers that. And so, and this has been going on for a little bit. And the pool has clearly been an intentional way to take a few hours off early, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. I have a crap ton. I have like 109 vacation hours to use by the end of the year. That's clearly not going to happen. But I'm taking a few hours here and there, and I'm enjoying being by the pool. I'm enjoying just sort of calm water. I particularly like to go in the early afternoon when nobody's there. So it's just peaceful. It's quiet. I take the iPhone. I listen to podcasts or some music, or I'll just sit there and I'm not gonna say meditate. I just sort of sit there and sort of let things flow. Just let it be, you know. I have to say, by the way, we need more podcasters who do calming, calm, thoughtful, reflective, even meditative. Don't you think we need a meditation podcast?
You know, there are some great meditation podcasts that are out there. You do have to kind of search a little bit about them. I'm sure if we asked Musing Mark, he might have some suggestions. I know I listen to a lot of what are called Dharma Talks by a gentleman by the name of Gil Fronsdal. And if you do a search on the iTunes store, you can come up with that. And, you know, the thing that I like about Gil is, you know, he's just this guy, right, who has spent a long time meditating. And he's able to equate some of the, you know, the stumbling blocks that we have in modern life and kind of translated in a way of using meditation to kind of deal with, you know, the fast pace of our lives and, you know, not really being present.
Yeah.
And so that's a real good suggestion. You know, just get out there and just kind of sample.
No, but I will say that I also... I had an issue where I needed to. I was having a blood pressure test for an executive health thing, and I'd taken it once, and it was at the office, and my blood pressure was through the roof. And so they're like, "Yeah, we should probably retest this at your house at some other date, preferably when you're not so stressed." I was like, "Okay, that sounds like a good idea." And so I was so intent on making sure that was the best possible baseline of my blood pressure, I downloaded a couple CDs, whatever you call it in today's world, a couple albums of meditation music, and literally put some very relaxing clothing on, nothing too binding, nothing too restrictive, walked down to my club room. Of course, this is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nobody down there. Sat in a big comfy chair in a room with all the doors closed and the light off and listened to that music for about an hour and a half. And my blood pressure was normal. It was just, it was so peaceful and so, but when you force yourself, and I've taken a few, I've had a few exercise classes where the instructor was smart enough to know things that, like, if you're trying to get your body in full relaxation mode, you shouldn't, like, cross any bones. You shouldn't, there's something about how that sort of creates negative energy or disruptive energy or something like that. And I forced myself to just sort of sit there, relax, let the arms dangle, don't cross your feet, just sort of breathe in, breathe out, that kind of stuff. I probably should think about meditation, I think, or Tai Chi or something, you know, something of that nature. I will say that in addition to going to the pool, I am actually spending time actually in the water. So not just, on the side, at the side of the pool. And I find, and I know people, like, if people were actually look down at the pool and see what I'm doing, they'd probably say, "Who is the retarded guy in the pool? What is he doing?" Because it kind of looks like I'm doing Tai Chi. And it's just really, it just, it's, there's something relaxing about your body's movement through the water. Yeah, it's, I can't explain it.
One of the things I love to do, especially if I'm in a pool and there's nobody around, is simply just to do a back float and just be totally supported by the water.
Yep.
And I find that to be incredibly relaxing.
I do that a lot, yeah.
You know, as, you know, hot tubs, too, another great technique to use. And now, I don't have a hot tub in my house, but oftentimes I'll draw a very hot bath and put Epsom salts in it.
See, now, and my bathtub is big-ish, but it's not the kind of bathtub I would like to, and I'm a big boy, let's be clear about that.
Yeah, so am I.
I would prefer a much larger bathtub that I could really be sort of fully immersed and feel... I would like a freaking garden tub, and mine is not a garden tub. It's not a whirlpool or anything.
I would totally love to have the Japanese soak tub.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be like perfect.
Yeah. And I will say that's actually something, now that you mention it, a long hot shower. I just recently changed my shower head to one of these. And it was like a $50 shower head that you sort of install yourself kind of thing with six different settings and all that. And it's still not what I would like to have, but it's a much better... And just sort of being under a hot flow of water for, you know, for an extended period, you know. I enjoy that too. Yeah. All right, Mark. I found an article at WebMD, you know, the harbinger of all things medical.
Remember, get your diagnosis before going on WebMD. Don't use WebMD to diagnose.
The more you know. Dun, dun, dun. No. So the article title is The Top 10 Relaxation Methods, and we're going to talk about those a little bit. I'm going to mix it up here a little bit, Mark, before we do that. I reached out to the Pride 48 Facebook page to ask folks, hey, how do you relax? How do you really, 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 really relax? And the answers were quite kind of revealing.
All right. Well, why don't you share some of those with us?
So Greg from the Inappropriate Conversations podcast and the Walk the Earth podcast, I see Greg on the Twitters, if you will. He actually linked to a previous podcast episode he did, episode number 120, called Making Contact, where he talks a lot about the best answer for that kind of relief was human contact.
Yeah.
The notion of contact, and that can be in a number of ways, right? Mm-hmm. And he also talked about a podcast that had a great episode on this, but he's not, apparently that podcast is no longer available, called Hooked. So I'm going to have to try and track that down. But I did a walk this morning and listened to that episode he recommended. And it's a very good episode. It's episode 120 of the Inappropriate Conversations podcast. I recommend that you listen to that. Christina of the Greetings from Nowhere podcast says, I truly relax when I'm away from people. Bob doesn't count. Bob's her husband. being with people is a huge drain on me. So when I relax, I shut off my phone. I crack open a book. I sit in my house or my yard and just reading and sipping on peached iced tea. We love that. Or coffee. When I'm very lucky, the day of reading happens on a camping trip where there are no other people around except Bob and I, and I don't have to deal with anything. I'm sensing a theme here. She doesn't like, she wants to be away from people, which I don't know about you, but I can totally relate to that.
I totally relate to that. However, you know, on the flip side, I'm a very introverted person. I love my alone time. But now that I'm working, you know, at least part-time from home, I have actually made it a point to go out and seek that contact.
How interesting that these first two examples are diametric opposed.
Right.
One is making contact and one is getting the hell away from people.
And meeting my friends for dinner last night is a perfect example.
Yeah.
And it's usually only for a couple of hours because that's about all I have in me. So I do have a tendency to make it a point, especially if I'm working several days in a row from home, that I actually leave my house.
Yeah. I see the need for both, right? Solitude and quiet and sort of personal time, and then the need for that. So I wouldn't be dismissive of either. I think there's good time for both. Christina had a follow-up and said, when I'm between books, a day of binging a TV show also does it. It has to be something nice and sweet. It can't be trashy reality or anything where people are terrible. That gets me wound up. She likes the British cooking shows or historical documentary. And I that notion of like when you need something to distract you on the telly, it needs to be something positive and not negative. I totally relate to that. There are times I will sit there and surf the channels for, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, trying to find something that's not, you know, ugly or violent or negative or, you know, which is 95% of all programming.
Yeah, and 100% of news.
Right, exactly. Oh my God, Becky, listen, my build, sorry, Mark, not Becky. Whitney Houston once sang a song called My Name's Not Susan. Mark's going to redo that song called My Name's Not Becky, damn it. Our building is so frustrated. We have TVs in the lobby on every floor, right? So while you're waiting on the elevator, there's a little TV there so you can sort of distract from how long it's taking the elevator to come. And we also have TVs in the car lobby. So all the floors, the six floors of parking, there's another TV there as well. And so it has been, since I've been here in 2011, it's been set to CNN. We are so all tired of this campaign, so tired of this campaign, to say nothing of CNN's quote analysis. We have changed all TVs to the Weather Channel.
Oh, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Even though they're the Nature Channel.
That's a great idea.
You know, as you see, the dung beetle is taking apart.
Okay, you lost me at dung beetle. I'm sorry, I thought it was a great idea until you said dung beetle, so I'm vetoing that shit. No pun intended. All right, so Ed Chan, a Pride 48 listener extraordinaire Ed Chan from the Singapores, he had two stress-relieving relaxation methods, one of which we will talk about, one of which we won't.
Okay, all right.
One is the Coca-Cola-induced sugar coma.
Oh,
which
okay.
is a good Atlantan. I can appreciate that, and we encourage it. Please drink more. The other one is a hot, steamy BDSM porn-induced masturbation marathon session. We'll just leave that right there.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Feel free to go to the Pride 48 Facebook page if you'd like to read more about that, because there was more. I'm just not going to go into it.
I'm just going to make a note to myself.
Right? We had one other feedback from from Turniphead of the Turnip Style podcast that he does with Urban Guy T.O. When asked, how do you really relax, really, really, really relax, his response was, I drink.
You know, I have been known to make a martini or three.
Or three.
from time to time. But, you know, I think, you know, when we look for things that are going to kind of soothe us, you know, our culture, you know, is really hip on things like sugar and alcohol, and you know, they certainly have their place. But yeah, you know, I can understand that.
It satisfies some sort of basal need,
right?
But it's probably not the best thing to do specifically to relieve stress.
Right.
Probably not the healthiest. And I'm right there with you because I probably do it too. Turn a bit. All right. So that was what we heard from our folks. Thanks to those who reached out. Mark, take us through this this WebMD article. What there were 10 tips. We don't need to do the reverse countdown, but what did you see? What was number one on their list?
Well, number one on their list is to meditate. Even if it's a few minutes. And, you know, this is the thing that I really, really can get behind, because I do have some experience with meditation. It goes back several years, and it comes in a couple of different forms. You know, it's the mindfulness, breath awareness meditation, which is probably one of the oldest and easiest to do, where you're just observing your breath and just coming back to that center. Now, you're going to have thoughts, and those thoughts are going to kind of, you know, go by. The trick is just to let them go. You know, don't get caught up in the story.
What do you mean come back to center? I've heard of this, you know, finding your center and centering yourself and these expressions.
So when you find yourself, you know, getting caught up in thought, you know, you're following the story or the, you know, the crappy thing that the teller said to you at the bank, and basically you just say, "Oh, I'm thinking," and just acknowledge that. And then just come back to breath. And that breath is kind of a centering point in a meditation session.
And is that, are those principles applied during that meditation session? But the example you just gave of the person who just gave you mm-hmm. a snotty sort of thing mm-hmm. at the teller at the bank kind of thing, do you ever apply those principles
in real life, at the time?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I need to practice that. I have an issue with that.
Because, you know, so much of, you know, our lives, especially if we're involved with friendships or relationships with others, is somebody will do something or say something that will set you off.
No, surely not.
Yeah. So rather than getting caught up in that emotion and saying or doing something that you might regret later on, or have to apologize for, just taking a moment to breathe and just, you know, count to three. I mean, remember when we were kids and we would get angry and our parents would say, "Now stop and count to 10?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
You know, that's an awesome example.
That's rooted in some actual...
it's rooted in an actual, you know, skillful way of dealing with anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I will certainly often just take a moment to say, okay, and do you really want to say that?
Yeah.
You know, is this gonna make it better or is it going to make it worse? And if it's going to make it worse, as hard as it is, just let it go. But this idea of even a few minutes mm-hmm. of meditation... Because, you know, there's some schools of thought out there that is, you know, you have to be 20 to 30 minutes twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. And it's just like, no, it's been kind of proven. Now, the University of Madison has been doing a lot of brain studies on Tibetan monks and doing MRIs and mapping the brain and when they're in their meditative states and what they're finding out. You know, as little as 3 to 5 minutes is going to have a benefit. You don't have to do the hour or 10-day silent retreat.
You could still do that for sort of maintenance and ongoing, you know, relaxation, but don't lose sight of the fact that these couple times a day, the little 3 to 5 minute things work.
They do, and it's kind of like water dripping on a stone. Mm. We all know that water is the universal solvent, and it can really dissolve anything. So this drip, drip, drip of taking these few minutes every day for a while will start to have an effect, and it will kind of erode some of those hard and fast habits and behaviors that we have through meditation.
I think you need to do a meditation podcast. I'm just saying.
All right. Well.
All right. So two of the things that you meant. So items number 2 and 3 on this list are actually referenced in what you just discussed on the WebMD article, which we'll post at northandsouthofthings.com. Breathe deeply and be present. And the breathing is critical during that meditation process. You know, take a 5 minute break, focus on your breathing, sit straight up, eyes closed with your hands on your belly. Slowly inhale through your nose, feel your breathing start in your abdomen. And so, like, you know, like really work through, think intentionally about the breath and sort of let those, as you said, let those thoughts come by. And the be present thing, not necessarily just in the meditation time, but in general, mm-hmm. I am working on that. I've been working on that in the last couple of years. And I've noticed that time with friends instead of stressing out about worrying what people think or trying to make sure everybody's having the most awesome time or that you're capturing the perfect picture, mm-hmm. being present in that moment is really important.
Absolutely. And you can do it by, you know, when you're brushing your teeth. I mean, you do that twice a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, just bringing that awareness to the task at hand and not thinking about the next task or what you did do, what you didn't do, what you have to do, what you have scheduled to do, like a cruise during Labor Day weekend. So
what? No, and you're right. It's not just about being in the moment, and that we tend to hear that recommendation, like, you know, be present in the moment, like during mm-hmm. family time and during time with friends, and you know, don't mm-hmm. be distracted by your phone. But I hear you. I mean, like, literally, be present. Period. You know,
mm-hmm.
And
a good way to do that is to kind of tune into your body, which is also on the list. And like you said, it's check in with your breathing.
Yep.
If you feel that your breathing is quick and it's high in the chest, you're probably not in the place that you'd like to be.
Listen to your body. Go back
to that abdominal breathing just for a couple of minutes will kind of just kind of break the cycle.
Another item on that list is reach out. And I guess that sort of goes back to contact, right, with your mm-hmm. with your friends. Your social network is one of the best tools for handling stress. And I agree with that. I think there are definitely times when I am stressed and I get on the phone with really close friends that we can have a half an hour, hour and a half conversation. And I literally hang up that phone with a smile on my face.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was out of town last week visiting a couple of friends of mine up north, and that's one of the reasons why I go up there, is that I can have a very authentic, deep conversation without having to worry about what they think, what I think. It's check-in time.
Yeah.
And to be able to really talk about some of the things that you're either dealing with or struggling with or, you know, bothered by, or if you're angry about, if you have somebody that you can confide in and you talk to those people,
yeah,
like you said, by the end of it, you just feel better.
Yeah. There's something special about having friends that you can, speak so bluntly and honestly with each other that you know there's no pretense, there's no judgment. Those are special people. Number six on that list is decompress. And I was curious to know if you ever do that. Place a warm heat wrap around your neck and shoulders for 10 minutes. Close your eyes and relax your face, neck and upper chest, and remove the wrap and use a tennis ball or foam roller to massage the tension away.
You know, I've never really done that. But I do schedule a monthly massage with a massage therapist that I've been working with for a couple of years now. And I do that on a monthly basis.
Good for you.
Simply to try and, you know, kind of just treat my body well and kind of get all the kinks and knots and stiff muscles kind of just relaxed.
I'm kind of weird about the massage thing, though.
You know, I've kind of noticed that, and maybe we need to kind of talk about massage, because my massage therapist and she and I have been friends for many, many years, and she's been my massage therapist off and on for probably the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, you know, because we were talking about massage, and massage is, you know, I think a lot of people sexualize massage,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's the knot that needs to be untied, because she was telling a story about a mutual friend of ours who had said, well, I could never, and he's a gay man, I could never have a female massage therapist. I just couldn't do it. And And I'm like, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, especially if you're dealing with somebody who's a licensed massage therapist, it's not about sexual touch.
It's so funny. The part of my issue with massage therapy just melted away when you said my massage therapist, she and I was like, oh, mm-hmm. could totally have a female. That sort of takes that sexual tension away.
Right. It really does, because I don't view Marguerite as, you know, a sexual partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's my friend and she's a therapist. And, you know, my friends were telling me about the time that they were in Mexico and, you know, there's a lot of gay men on this beach and these hot young things being massage therapists, kind of trying to ask people if they want to have a massage. Wink, wink.
Right. Wink,
wink. You know, you really have to kind of choose wisely. Now, there is the idea of erotic touch and sexual massage.
Right.
I want to say, you know, those are valid, different things.
You just need to know what you're interested in.
Right. I go to a therapeutic massage therapist. You know, I think one of the organizations that you might have heard in the past is the Body Electric.
Yes, I have heard of them.
Okay. Now that's a different kind of massage.
Isn't that about people who are actually trying to feel more comfortable about people touching their bodies and exploring that sensual touch?
Yes. And that's a sensual touch kind of thing.
Yeah, somebody once invited me to one of those.
Mm.
And I did not go. He is no longer with us. But
okay.
Yeah. I've thought about it though. I have thought about it. All right. What's number 7 on the list?
Number 7 on the list is to laugh out loud.
I think that needs no explanation. Clearly, laughter is the best medicine.
Yes. And I tell you, there are times during the year, you know, because kind of, especially in my area of the country, winter can be long, cold, and dark. So you have to find things that that make you laugh. So I have various comedy movies that I always kind of tune into and watch to really kind of do that laugh out loud. Yeah. I think far too much of our life seems to take on a serious cast. So yeah, definitely laugh out loud.
And speaking of laugh out loud, that sounds like the lyric to a song. Number 8 is crank up the tunes. And I think we both would agree that music, regardless of what your interest is, as long as it's sort of eliciting the positive from you or the contemplative or the thoughtful. I'm not saying, you know, like Slipknot is exactly what you need to be listening to make yourself feel better. But maybe if that works for you, I guess, you know. But yeah, cranking up the tunes works. Number 9 is get moving.
Absolutely. Exercise in any form, even 10 minutes a day.
And that just comes right down to body chemistry, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just releasing endorphins and all that kind of stuff.
Right. It kind of helps you burn off the cortisol that we all come into contact with, especially when we're in a flight or fight mode. And then that can be triggered simply by your alarm going off in the morning.
Right, which is why I don't set alarm anymore.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mark, what's the last on the list? Number 10.
Last on the list is be grateful. And this is something that I've kind of played with in the past, and I'd really like to get back to. Because really, you know, the old adage is count your blessings.
Yes.
And sitting down and writing down at the end of your day 5 things that you're grateful for.
That's smart.
It can be as simple as that.
Just tell me I don't have to do that on Facebook.
No, actually, during the month of November. Encourage people to keep that private.
Yeah.
And actually just keep a small notebook by your bed.
Yeah.
And just take a moment and just, because honestly, George, we live in the 21st century in America, and America has its own problems and issues. But I have to say, we're not in a war-torn area.
Right.
We're not starving.
Right.
We have access to health care. We are living a life that's pretty good.
And the notion of being thoughtful and aware of what you should be thankful of, mm-hmm. Really seems like it gets to installing humility where it needs to be, or forcing you to sort of think about how to be humble and how to be appreciative of things and acknowledging gratefulness for what's around you and the people and what you have and you know, your friendships and whatnot. I think it's a great idea. I would never think about that as a stress reliever, though.
But. Yeah. Well, it has a tendency, you know, just kind of to stop. I know when I'm dealing with my coworkers at work and I need to ask for something and they do it, you know what? It doesn't really take that much to say, thank you. I really appreciate you doing this for me right now.
Exactly. Well, I love it. What a great, some great thoughts there, kids. I'm going to read this article in greater detail because I think there's some excellent ideas there. And I learned some things that Mark is doing and maybe some things that our Facebook friends and our listeners are doing. So, Mark, I'm thankful that you're with me on this podcast.
I am grateful as well, George. I think this is a really important topic. That we kind of maybe need to revisit from time to time.
I love it. Kids, thanks for listening. We will be back with another installment soon. Until then, Mark, have a great day.
You too, George. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LAFFING. BUDDHA. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.
This show is part of the Pride 48 network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.